Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES for 15% off today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Making Moves. I'm here today with host of The Real Pod, former college athlete, TED Talk speaker, wifey, and one of the biggest Swifties I know, Miss Victoria Garrick Brown.
Yay! Woo! Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for coming on the show. I'm so excited to have you because I cannot wait to talk about Taylor Swift.
Oh my
gosh. Specifically Travis and Taylor.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I feel like our worlds just collided with like our love for football and then
honestly,
our pop girly.
Arguably, is it uniting the world? Because NFL and Swifties, that was a crossover we never saw coming.
Is it uniting the world, period? Like, they are doing more than what Kelly Clarkson did on American Idol, bringing America together right now. That's crazy.
It's really wild. I was pretty shook just to see her, like, in the box with the mom when it had been, like, rumored. I'm like, whoa! I'm like, we jumped to, like, level six here.
Never in a million years did I think the rumors were true. Did you?
I didn't think they were true, but then when his brother confirmed it, I fully believed that.
Like, really? People, I still didn't.
I still did. I definitely did. I was like, because you, when you're in that world, you do not say anything about Taylor that is not true. Like, if they were to claim that there was something going on and there wasn't,
that's
you're
true.
Over. Like, so I was like, they would never speak out of turn, I think. Like, if it wasn't true. You wouldn't to say you're talking to someone when you're not. So I fully was bought in when that happened. But then I didn't expect to see them in the flesh together.
So crazy. Soon.
Yeah.
Well, their podcast dropped today, Travis.
And oh, I woke up and listened to my
me
bed.
Too. Me too.
Literally, I listened to the whole thing.
I was like fast forwarding because I'm like, I don't care about the football highlights.
I literally was stopping my alarm and playing the pod.
A
Okay, so what did you think about his little recap?
I thought it was so great. Of course, I'm thinking about all the nitty gritty. I'm like, did they send that snippet to Tree? And did Taylor's team listen and approve? Like, but I thought it was a super classy. He had to talk about it because that's his thing. She's very private. They have their podcast.
He's his like brother's wife's a whore.
he's definitely out there. So I expected, like, of course, I think that was on brand for him. And I love that he did. I think he did it in a really great way. It was very him. He was very complimentary.
Really,
it was super cute. And then he had his very slick, and you'll never hear me talk about it again, which is the stamp of maybe more's happening. Because if you're going to be with Taylor, it's everything's top secret.
Okay, that's why I thought that it was like a PR, like, this isn't real, because I was like, there's no way in hell she's like going on dates with this guy or like hooking up with him or whatever they're doing, and he's just like on his podcast being like, yeah, I wanted to see if like she could come watch me like show out on Arrowhead. Like, I was like, there's no way she liked that.
But I feel like she's in her YOLO era right
maybe
now, which I'm loving for her. And
I agree. I love
it. I really like it. It's a new type of man's.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, I mean, you'd married to a former quarterback. Like, I love a football player.
A lot. Actually, some of my audience were being so funny. They're like, Taylor is getting closer and closer to becoming you.
Yes.
I wish. And then maybe the closer, I've always felt like so similar to her. Just, I mean, I feel like every Swiftie feels this way. You listen to her albums and you're like, she wrote this for me. Like, literally, yeah, this is my life. So now that she's like getting into the football world, especially with the fact that I love Taylor and I've done so many videos about her, and with Max, who is a football analyst. And like, now that the worlds are colliding, it's wild. And I'm like, I was actually laying in bed yesterday. I think about this nonstop. It's in the back of my mind is Taylor's life always.
Yeah.
And I was like counting how many people we are away from Travis. Two.
Oh, I'm one away.
You're one?
Uh-huh.
That is wild.
It's wild.
And my two is a loose two. Like, it
really
would be like, it would be, yeah, like, I.
That's
okay,
kind of a loose
a
one.
A really, really close friend. His buddy was in the booth.
Okay, that's crazy.
Yeah. But I don't at all know the buddy.
Okay, what was the vibe of the booth then?
I don't know.
You don't know
I
anything?
I don't know. All I know is what Travis had said, which, because I didn't dig. I don't know. Like, what was I supposed to say? Also, this really close friend is like a guy. Like,
okay,
he's not going
to
be like,
about
oh
the
my
details.
God, I have all this stuff to tell you. Like, he's like, I don't know, I didn't ask. I'm like, okay, wow. That was the thing that blew my mind, is the people that were in there, like, fully focused on the game. Like, I'm like, no, you should just be staring, living, breathing, smelling Miss Swift.
Like, y'all don't understand how insane this is.
Especially the people who are right in front of there. I would have just turned around and been like this the whole
game. Well, thank God for them, because they were like filming everything she was doing. And I was like, thank God for y'all.
I didn't actually see a lot of those videos.
Really?
I know. I didn't see a lot of those.
My entire For You page was that.
My entire feed was it. But I wasn't getting the like, I was getting like all the news outlets.
Okay.
And just the same things that we'd been seeing. I wasn't getting those like someone who was in the arena.
Yeah.
Like, here's the video.
So do you think they were like going on dates, hanging out before the game? Or do you think that was their first like, okay, let's just see? And she was like, hee hee.
I have did you see the videos that were like, Travis apparently is very like on the field when he's celebrating his touchdowns. Like, he's very out there, and that the whole game he was very like,
no,
like,
no.
Like, literally, he was nervous.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he is such, like, I don't know him actually personally, but like, he is such a lively, outgoing,
yeah,
like, confident, honestly, like, to some degree, like, douchey guy, where he's like out on the field, like doing touchdown celebrations. Like, I don't know, some coaches don't like that. I live for it, because I'm like, yes,
yeah,
Slay King, like, give me your stanky leg. Like, he like does he does that on the field.
I love it.
But like, that's why I was like, for a touchdown celebration, is he gonna like do the bejeweled dance?
That would have been.
Or like the Fearless Heart.
No, but that's where I think he was a little giddy and nervous. Like he got shy boy.
Yeah, and that's so not. In that video of them walking after the game, like he was so quiet. That no, is not was, him.
That video looked like someone took a video of me and my crush sophomore year school. Walking down the hallway. Like it was so funny. She's like, hey, how's it going?
And he's like,
and he was like, fuck, this is the coolest moment of fucking life.
He's like, don't fuck it up.
But what I will say that I love the most about this, and I've been like having this conversations with friends and Max, is how he seems like of anyone she's dated, because he's an elite athlete, 2-time Super Bowl champion, like gonna be Hall of Famer, he gets the grind, and he also has no like ego complex that could be shattered. Like, and Max and I think that he is like so about her stardom, thinks it's amazing, like
respects the shit out of her.
Yes, and like would never be threatened by it. And I feel like that's been something that we Swifties have worried about in the past, is like, can you handle this literal stardom, like most famous person on the planet, in my opinion. Well deserved. And I think he's someone who would be like, go get him, babe. Like, that's my girl selling out all those shows.
I think
shows.
He thinks it's hot.
Yes.
He's like it's fine, it's attractive.
His ego isn't threatened at all, which I love. And I think it's so important, especially when with successful women. And those men are hard to come by.
Mm-hmm. I also think he, like, respects her entire craft and, like, realizes that they're such different people because they've both dated such different people in the past. I think they're both respectful of that and they're, like, willing to try something new. Which I think is really cool.
Yeah, to be a fly on the wall.
Oh, I know. We're going to play a little game. I don't know if you'll like it because it's a little raunchy game. It's Fork, Marry, Kill. Are you down to play?
No, I'm down and I'm trying to be a little more. I'm in my sexy era.
Okay.
I have a little cleavage today.
Okay, hot. Yeah. I love it.
I'm 26 and finally trying to like literally be sexy.
Okay, you're down to play. We're calling it Fork, Marry, Kill.
Okay.
And it's T-Swift edition.
Like as in songs or albums?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my gosh. No, this is going to be really hard. This is going to be
It's literally everything. So there's like guys, there's exes, there's.
Okay.
We're going to get into it.
Okay, okay, okay.
Okay, the first one is Travis Kelce.
Okay.
Maddie Healy, Joe Alwyn.
Okay. I am going to have to go marry Travis to support what's. I'm supporting where she's at right now.
Same.
And then. I don't know a lot about Maddie Healy, honestly. And when that was going on, I knew it was never going to be anything real. I was like not even consuming it and getting invested because I was like, this is
same,
whatever. I don't even know what the things are, but I've heard like sus things about him.
Oh yeah, I've heard very sus things about him, and I don't find him to be attractive
for
in the slightest.
For that reason,
sorry. 1975
I saw
fans.
Hannah Berner did a stand up and said he looks like a cigarette.
He looks like a cigarette. But, all of her exes kind of look like a cigarette.
Well, except she for the usually brushes. Is with those taller, lanky guys, and so that's why I love that she's with this like, you know, chiseled, muscular.
Well, that
athlete.
Was the other thing I was gonna say is. I love that he can actually protect her. Let's say she's out and about and like a crazy fan comes up. He could actually kick some ass.
You're so right. Like, oh wait, that's so funny because
like no one else would kick ass. She would be kicking their ass.
When I saw the video of them driving away in the getaway car,
yes.
I was like, where's her security? She's usually rolling deep
no,
with like five people.
No, she's with Travis, Fork, and Kelce, and so, he's going to kick ass.
No, wait, that's so
and
makes
it's hot.
Sense now. I'm like, why was there no, there should have been security in the backseat. Like, it's Taylor Swift, but the way that, you're so right.
Because he's literally a beast.
He could throw fish for her. Like, he probably could tackle her whole security
yes.
team.
He knows how to, if anyone knows how to tackle, it's him.
I love that. You're yeah. so right. The other guys would have been like, oh, I don't want to get dirty.
Oh my God. No, I can't with the artsy
so
cigarette guys.
I'm going to have to, Kill feels like really aggressive. Let go of Maddie okay. and
Joe
is what's left.
Okay. Fork Joe. Okay. Okay. Next question is 1989, Reputation and Lover.
Okay.
What is your favorite album, by the way?
My top
I should know this.
Three are Rep, Folklore, and Fearless.
Oh, I did know that. You said that on a podcast.
I have rarely said that, though, because it's really hard. I will say that's my current top three. It changes depending on the seasons of your life you're in. So I would say here's where I'm at. Rep is like a spirit album for me. So that cannot be let go of. Lover contains my first dance song.
Well,
so
that's why
I
put it in there because I was
right.
like.
So I can't, like,
you can't kill
I
it.
Can't let go of that. And then 1989, oh, God, but it has Wildest Dreams, and it has Blank Space, and it has New Romantics. And Max is a 1989 stan. That's his top album.
That doesn't shock me.
I think I'm going to go, you know what? With the exception of Lover, the song, I honestly think I would marry Rep, fork 1989.
Kill Lover.
And let go of Lover. Just from the sense of the scope of bangers on one album.
Okay, fair enough. What do you think Travis's favorite album is?
Ooh. I could see him as a Rep boy.
Same. I just know for a fact he was at the concert at Eras.
Yeah.
And like he was just like dilly-dallying, like not really paying attention, like being like, oh, this is cool. And then that she came out for Rep and he was like, holy shit, she's on.
Literally.
Like, I think he had a moment.
I can see that happening, but it's weird because I can also see him being like, I knew you, rolling it, and just like singing Cardigan and being like totally the opposite.
True. But I just think Rep, like, that's the album that like shocks people. It has the wow factor for
I literally love that album so much.
Mm-hmm. And her performing it live is like insane.
And the Rep tour was absolutely unreal.
Yeah, like just the snakes, the whole branding, everything. Okay, love it. Next question is places our girl has lived: New York, Nashville, and Rhode Island.
Ooh, okay. So Last Great American Dynasty is one of my favorite Taylor Swift songs ever. Mm-hmm. And it's about the Rhode Island house. Rebecca wrote up on the... So good. I was blown away that she played the entire song at the concert because a lot of the songs she was doing just like verse, chorus, transition. Mm-hmm. And that one she gave us verse, chorus, bridge, chorus. I was like,
she knew you'd be there.
I mean, I was blown away. So I'm going to have to say Rhode Island is my Mary.
Okay.
I would love to go to that house. Holy shit.
I know.
See the videos of her singing karaoke that they heard in the street?
Huh.
Yeah. Someone was driving by and they could hear karaoke. And it was like her singing, I think it was My Heart Will Go On.
Shut up.
Yeah, with like one of her friend parties. God.
Well, isn't that the house where they have the 4th of July parties?
Yeah.
I would die to go to one of those.
Yeah. Oh my God. Same. Oh my Literally God. Same.
Literally same.
I once thought about the list of things I would do to like just like interview her on my podcast or like meet her. Like it's kind of crazy. Like I would cut off one of my fingers easy.
Same.
I would shave my entire head.
Honestly, I think I would too.
Yeah. And I would keep shaving it. If we did a full year of shaved head, I would totally do
okay.
it.
Okay. Wigs.
I mean, yeah. Well, not whatever. But I like the things I would do. So Mary Rhode Island. And then I'm going to fork New York because it's just such an iconic, great city. I love Nashville. I've only been it 2 times. I just don't know enough about it. So that reason, it's my let go.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing/time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
The one thing that has kept me sane throughout the 75 Hard Challenge, and more importantly, has kept me hydrated the most, is Liquid IV. Y'all, when I tell you, I literally crave Liquid IV. Like, the lemon lime flavor lives rent-free in my head. First of all, it just always quenches my thirst, but it is perfectly sour and has that tangy taste to it, and it's just so good. Like, a nice, cold, crisp glass of Liquid IV. Oh my gosh, mwah! Sounds so good. Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. So I actually just taste tested all of the flavors for you guys, the pear, the white peach, the green grape, and the lemon lime. And I have to tell you, I still think lemon lime is my favorite. But my second favorite is green grape. And then my third favorite, believe it or not, is pear. I'm actually shocked by how much I like pear. And then in fourth place for me was the white peach. My favorite thing about Liquid IV is how convenient it is, especially because I am always on the go. I am booked and busy, and I'm sure you guys are too. So being able to pack it so easily in a purse or a carry-on or whatever the case is, like my work bag, I always have a Liquid IV in there because throughout my day, I get so thirsty and nothing truly satisfies my thirst craving other than a Liquid IV. Like, it is so good. I literally want to make one right now. And listen, drinking water is great. Like, I've been drinking so much water while doing the 75 hard challenge, but one stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you way better than water alone. And I love it because I feel like it actually revives me. And the best part about it is that there's no artificial sweeteners and zero sugar. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free in bulk, nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TK at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop better hydration today using promo code TK at liquidiv.com.
If you did have her on your podcast, like, what would be the number one question you would want to ask
her? I literally have a list of notes page in my phone with all my questions.
Okay.
It's been manifested.
What would be, like, that's great. What would be, like, one of the main things you would want to ask?
Oh, my gosh. I think one of, like, my greatest desires is, like, understanding more of her, like, everyday week type situation and, like, how she goes about her actual life, because we don't know a lot about that. You know, like, we see what we see and we've seen what we've seen in the documentaries, but we don't. I'm just curious. Like, it's like the little things, like, what time do you like to wake up in the morning? Do you use your phone as an alarm?
I'm like, what does she eat?
Do you FaceTime your mom every morning? Who do you FaceTime? Yeah, what are your favorite meals? Like, it's all that stuff. But I don't know if she would ever even want to reveal it, because that's the allure of Taylor, which I would respect as well. In which case, I have other questions that we could totally talk about.
I actually like that I don't know, because I agree. I'm, like, way more into it. It's like a mystery.
Yeah. It's like she tells us in a weird way. She gives us all of the deep stuff that most celebrities don't tell you, but then doesn't give the surface level things. And that's the opposite of what every other person does.
Mm-hmm. Like, what if one day she just uploaded a vlog?
She did one of those, like, get ready with me, like, glamour videos.
Oh my gosh, I would not be
okay. My makeup routine. She can't. She is too famous.
We don't even know who her makeup artist is.
Oh, I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, and her stylist.
Oh, do you know her hair?
Yeah.
Who is it?
I don't know the name off the top of my head, but I follow them all.
Okay, see, like, that's crazy, because, like, I feel like all the other big celebrities, like, it's always, like, tagging, blah, blah. We don't even know.
Oh, I feel like she just keeps
a different level of fame.
Totally. I think she just keeps her circle small and she private. Has her people. Which also, I'm like, those people spend so much time with her, just glamming her every day of the Eras tour. Like, she's sitting with you for an hour. Like, what is she talking about? God, I'm obsessed with her.
I don't know. What does she eat before? How, like, what if she has a stomach ache?
How does she do it in heels?
I don't. What if she has to pee?
She's like, she's not human in those ways.
That's what's crazy to me.
Yeah. She's a god.
What if she wakes up and she's like, I'm not feeling, I'm on my period.
She is a false god.
Yeah, she is. Okay, last one of Fork, Marry, Kill is we're going to do people that have featured on her songs. Kendrick Lamar, Ice Spice, and Ed Sheeran.
That is so hard. And there's one woman. I feel like if I don't, like, marry the woman, I'm going to get, that's, like, not women for women. That's tough. My brain thinking of how I'm going to be canceled.
Yeah, I promise you won't get canceled, but, like, Ice Spice, like, rocks. Like,
yeah,
you
she could does. I don't know enough about her music, though. Like, I'll be honest. I
should probably be a great
for sure. I'm going to marry Ed Sheeran.
Okay.
I love his music. He's great and seems like a sweetheart and just a really good person. And they're really good friends.
Yeah, he seems like he loves Taylor.
And then I have Ice Spike and Kendrick. Love them both. Oh my gosh. What was the Kendrick song?
Bad Blood.
No. I know that one. Oh. But it was literally the most iconic song. I'm blanking. A poop on that TikTok. Watch my soul speak. You let the meds talk.
I got loyalty. Sit down. Be humble.
Yeah. Be humble. Be humble. Literally came out the year I gave my TED Talk. So it would be like, that TED Talk. Hey. And it was, like, so sick at, like, the parties and stuff with my friends. So I have a special place in my heart for Be Humble. But I'm going to go with forking Ice Spice.
Okay. R.I.P. Kendrick.
But I, of course, I was saying nice things about Kendrick.
Yeah, of course. It's okay. You're not going to get canceled. I promise. No Making Moves listener is going to cancel Victoria today.
You know, we should talk about this.
Yeah.
I literally don't, like, even this type of, like, fork, marry, kill, like, I don't ever do this stuff publicly. I'm, like, I don't comment on people and things. Like, it's...
Well, I heard you say that. That's why I wanted to do it.
No. And I'm glad that we did, and I need to just do it, and, like, it's fine. Like, why am I so afraid? It's the people pleaser in me wants to be liked by everyone, doesn't want to say anything wrong, step out of place.
I was going to ask that. Why are you so afraid when it's, like, just a silly little game? Are you thinking about how it could be taken to a cancel-worthy level? Or, like, how you could meet someone one day? Like, I know I cut back on talking about celebrities sometimes when I was like, fuck, I am friends with their friend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like... Even, like, one of my best friends that already texted me a photo or a video from this other creator and, like, said something kind of, like, rude. And I literally, like, was, like, frozen and, like, and she goes, I know you're not going to respond to this text. Because, like, I don't know. Like, it's, like, hard for me. And I think that's a good thing. But I know it's not that deep. And I literally just had Amanda Hirsch from Not Skinny But Not Fat on my podcast. And I love her. And she comments and talks about celebrities all the time. And... was always like, well, we're just talking about what we know. I don't know. I guess maybe I'm just sensitive, or I'm in my era of, like, thinking a lot about other people's feelings. Mm-hmm. I really don't know. I should talk to my therapist about it. Let me know if you have thoughts.
It's so weird because part of me extremely admires that about you. And I do think to some degree it's corny when people talk about their whole content is about someone else. But I also am like, I'm consuming it.
Well, I think for me, that is probably a big part of it. It's like, I am not a pop culture person. Taylor is my only pop culture, like, content pillar. Like,
interesting. That I so love you just to talk don't about. Care.
Well, I
about other pop culture.
I love pop culture, and I literally follow Pop E News and Amanda Hirsch, and I do enjoy that stuff. And I'm very in the know. Like, if something happens to celebrities or kids or whatever, like, I know. But I think because I do so much of fostering conversations about vulnerability and our struggles and what we're secretly going through, like, that maybe comes through a lot when I think about other people. It's like there's so much to their story that, like, I don't know. And I don't know. It's just maybe the place that I'm at. Don't get me wrong. Like, growing up, I talked a lot of shit. I gossiped with my friends. Like, I just would rather talk about having an existential crisis. Like, I don't know.
Well, you know, one of my favorite quotes is by Eleanor Roosevelt. You've probably heard of it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Is it the small minds?
Yes. That's one of my favorite quotes. But I will say, I guess we should say it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you should say it.
It's small minds discuss people, average minds discuss events, and large minds discuss ideas. And I think it is true. I think it's very true that larger minds discuss ideas because they want to discuss, like, things they're excited about or whatever, yeah, instead of discussing people.
And obviously this is, like, such a fun, charming game, and, like, we're not talking shit about anyone, but my best friend Aubrey and I have a second podcast called So Much to Say, and we're reading this book about ego and your unconscious mind, and her and I have had conversations about gossiping, and, like, even when you go to, like, an event or a wedding and, like, you just love to come home and be like, oh my God, the family, this, that, can you believe they did? Like, it's like the come home, and it's, like, so much fun to, like, have this shit fest of the negativity. And Aubrey and I were talking about how it's like we do that because a part of us then feels good that, like, there's something wrong with other people because there's secretly something wrong with us. And if we can point out what's wrong with other people, like, a little part of our ego feels better that, like, yeah, like, I'm not the only one. You know, it's like, it's always like a projection.
When someone starts shit talking and you're in the room, how do you navigate that?
You know what's wild about this question? And then a question I get a lot too is, like, how do you handle people who are talking about their body and, like, what they're eating? Like, I have a decently small circle, and they know me so well that, like, I'm having the hour-long conversations with my friends where we're crying about deep shit. And I'm probably not the one they call to, like, bitch about XYZ. The same way that friends in front of me, like, aren't shitting on their bodies, aren't saying toxic things about food. Like, but when I'm in, like, when I went on a brand trip or when I do things and I'm out of my circle, I'm like, whoa. I'm like, girls are talking about their bodies and how they hate the way they look and food, like, all the time. I'm almost like, now in this bubble of like my safe space where people like know me, and they just honestly, when shit talking comes up, I don't think about the other people as much as I try to take that moment for myself of like, yeah, what is it that I feel threatened by that I want to chime in? I don't know. It's a reflection, I think.
Do you have any tips as far as what to say if someone's like, oh my God, did you see this girl's post? She looked blah, 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 blah. It's something rude, right? They're shit talking. Like, how would you go about that? Do you have any tips on how to like redirect or like get out of the shit talking world?
Certainly. I feel that, you know, it could be as simple as, huh? Like, honestly, I was on the phone the other day with someone who was like having this kind of conversation. And I literally was like, I keep saying the same thing because I like don't know what to say. Like, I'm not going to jump in. So I think you could be like, yeah, I mean, that's super interesting. And yeah, I wonder why. You know, like one of those like little things that kind of like fade the convo out, and you haven't really had a lot of judgment, but you're at least opening the door of like, huh, yeah, I wonder, like there's probably a lot going on, you know, to paint the picture of there's a lot that we don't know and we can't judge. I think that would be an easy way to go about the gossiping. And then as far as like the body image comments, you know, I think a subject change is always good. I try to let it just go in one ear, out the other, and not engage. And I think just topic switching is also helpful.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to you on a few other podcasts, and you were saying you were so the friend that like sits down at a table and is like, let's play, you know, the getting to know you game, or like have these deep questions. That's literally me to a T.
Me too. I'm like that annoying ass bitch.
Yeah.
What are we gonna talk about?
Yeah. I'm like, I can't sit there and just talk about the pop culture. We need to get deep and like do a game or something. So, is there like a go-to question that you love that gets really deep or gets people going that you love to bring up in convo?
Yes.
Okay. What is it?
I got it from the We're Not Really Strangers card game.
I play that all the time a little bit.
It's what about you feels the most misunderstood?
Whoa. What would you say that is for you?
You know, I thought about this the other day because I used to have an answer for this that was my go-to, and I think I have it. What I used to say, which is still true, I've been through a lot in the past year and a half, 2 years, so I feel like now with my close circle, like it's not this way, but I used to feel that because I became such a confident public speaker and advocate for mental health, and I built this business, I sometimes felt like people didn't understand like how tough it was for me at one point, or maybe were focused so much on like the success of where things are. But what was misunderstood was like how dark the place I was at the time really was.
Whoa.
So that to me, like sometimes I feel like people look at me and they think like,
you have it all together.
Yeah, and there's like no way. Mm-hmm. And so that used to be what I'd say, but I don't know if I feel that way anymore. I have to think about my current answer. What's yours?
I mean, that rings a bell for me as far as what you just said. Like the last year, I'd be like, oh, I went through a quarter life crisis, but I was like, it was kind of bad. Like,
yeah.
As far as like what I was like dealing with on my own, I would really need to think about it.
Yeah. No, that's not a question anyone can have. You cannot half-ass answering that question. Mm-hmm.
What is it again?
What about you feels most misunderstood?
Misunderstood. I would say just on a surface level, definitely people think I like have this don't give a fuck persona. I think people think I have a lot harder of a shell than I do.
Mm-hmm.
That is just like the obvious.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there's some deeper stuff that I would just need to think about for
a
second.
Right. No, it takes thought, like, for sure. Mm-hmm. We could pause for 20 minutes and come back, but
I don't know if we have that time. Yeah. Victoria's a very busy girl.
No, but I know what you mean.
I want to touch a little bit on mental health stuff. Clearly, you have done, you know, the TED Talk about it. You went to USC. You had this insane volleyball career. You still do public speaking on behalf of, like, you know, athletes and mental health and whatever. And you have this nonprofit,
The Hidden Opponent,
which is so awesome. The Hidden Opponent, all about mental health and whatnot. You just referred to in the last 2 years, you were like, it's been a big struggle. What are you referring to?
Yeah, well, that's tough too, because as someone who's super public and candid online, I'm candid about like my life and my experiences. And when you go through things that involve other people and your personal life, you just can't really put it fully on display. Mm-hmm. And so That's tough because I wear my heart on my sleeve and I wish I could like dissect everything for everyone. Like I would bring people into my therapy sessions if I could, but you know, it's going to involve other people and that's not fair to them. But I would just say that like I have really had to practice the art of acceptance and
in
that
what way?
We cannot change other people.
Oh.
And we cannot, you know, you could lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And I think that is a theme that's come up in my life in so many ways and with different people at different times. And I just so badly want to help others. I want to make them happy. I want to do everything that I can. Mm-hmm. And especially with people you love, at some point, it's okay to have the acceptance of I've done everything that I can do. And it's not my responsibility to fix someone else. And that's kind of the place I've had to get to. And honestly, it's been so freeing to finally feel that way. Mm-hmm. And it's really difficult, like, because especially as an athlete, I think about acceptance and I'm like, well, if you accept it, it means you're okay with it. And it's like, no, it just means like I'm in alignment with what is. Because whether I dislike it or I like it or however I feel about it, it doesn't matter because that's what happened. That's where we are. That's the present moment. Mm-hmm. So I can either be in alignment of the present moment and I can accept that this is what it is and then act within that alignment on how I want to move forward. Or I can add more suffering to myself by creating the resistance of, no, like this can't be the situation or this needs to be fixed and like fight against like what already is. Mm-hmm. So it's taken me a long place to get there. And if anyone is listening and resonating, I have a solo episode called You Can't Save Someone Who Doesn't Want to Be Saved. And, you know, I dive more into it. But yeah, I think it's been that. Mm-hmm.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you say your mental health is right now, as far as 10 being the best?
Well, if you asked me this a week ago, it would have been like 4.
Okay.
I had watched this show and got really triggered by like a scene. I don't know if that ever happens. But I have never had that before where you're watching something and like a triggering thing like happens. But I literally felt like I saw a scene from my life and it literally brought up the feelings as if this thing had happened yesterday when it didn't happen yesterday. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know. And so it just sent me back into this really negative funk and it brought up all these emotions. And then I had to like deal with that and like reopen conversations. And I realized that I had things unsaid and, you know, I had to close that loop. And I'm so glad that I did. I find that whenever I'm struggling with something, you know, I like to talk about it. I like to have the conversation with that person. I like to, you know, bring it to the surface. I think when we push things down or we shove them under the rug, it's just going to come up again the same way that it did when I watched this scene. And so, I'm so glad I sat down and I had this conversation with this person and it was like really great and healthy and I felt like I could breathe afterwards. Mm-hmm. And now I would say I'm at a 7.
Great. Isn't it crazy how like a song or a show or anything can take you back to any feeling like in an instant?
Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about that a lot. The way that words can only do so much. There is so much beyond just what we can say that we're actually feeling.
Mm-hmm. It's tickling and your other senses.
It's what music elicits. It's what cinema elicits. It's what a scent and a smell of something can bring back for you. And you can't, when people say like, I love you so much, I can't even put words to it. Like that's what we're talking about. It's like that higher energy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's wild. And I'm trying to like get more in touch with it.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about your social media career and the nitty gritty of it, because in my eyes, you're one of my favorite people to follow.
Oh my God. I'm so honored.
I think you are one of the few podcasts that really takes the time to like do crazy research and like really bring a lot of value. I know you spend a lot of time on it. You've spoken with me about it, but also I just know as a viewer because like you were cutting out the nitty gritty. You were listening back to the episodes. You're just putting in the work and I really respect that as a fellow podcaster myself. So I want to talk a little bit about, I guess, as far as content creation goes when it comes to making TikToks, podcasts, reels, whatever. Do you have a strategy? Are you just like throwing out to see what sticks? I want to get inside your brain a little.
Yeah, I love this question. And I'm so flattered with the compliments. Thank
of
you.
Of course.
Because I know as a creator, you probably feel this way. You can sometimes be like, oh my God, all my stuff is stupid. I don't know what I'm talking about, what I'm doing. And so it means a lot. I definitely am strategic in that I know, you know, like I literally flew home from Chicago on Sunday and my flight was delayed. And I literally texted Max, like, I will drive to your office in Beverly Hills. I need you in the car for 10 minutes. We have to film our reaction to Travis and Taylor. Like, it's hot right now. Mm-hmm. I know people want this video. So, of course, like, I'm thinking about it that way. I also love it. And, like, we don't script it. And there's, I just press play and there's so much to banter. And then I edit it. But, of course, I am, my wheels are turning of, like, mm-hmm. you know, this is a hot topic right now and I could make a good video. As far as, like, strategy outside of, like, a niche example like that, I really, with my content, it's super intuitive because I'm being so candid. It's really hard for me to be like, here's my week of content before the week starts and then like have that go live. Cause it's not at all like every day is very much reflective of my everyday. But that can be difficult because then if something happens during the day or I'm super busy, like I don't have a video planned. I don't have a thing planned. Mm-hmm. So actually yesterday I was inspired by my own husband, Max, who's been killing it with content. And
obsessed with Max.
He's such a sweetie. I love Max. I love him too. And he has literally this fall, he's a football analyst and he really wants to build his channels because, you know, there's a lot happening in the football world and to have a brand and build a brand is powerful and can lead to opportunities. So he's been telling himself just one a day, like one video a day. And I was like, why am I not doing that? Because I tell myself it's got to be three a day, because like it's my full-time job.
I tell myself that too.
And in the COVID, I was posting 3 to 4 times a day. It's like, I literally will not post for 3 days. And so I yesterday put into my Google Cal, it's a 10-minute time block at 10 a.m. every morning. And it just says Vic's daily content with a little heart. Because I want it to be, I'm big on like colors and if anything's in like red or it looks intense, it like elicits this feeling for me that like it's anxiety inducing and draining. And I'm like, it's not. It's just Vic's daily content with a heart, like just anything. Yeah. Like you can be creative. Think of it. So I have that. And now it's like so motivating. And I already have like 4 videos in my phone right now that I took an Uber here instead of driving so I could use the Uber to edit the videos I wanted to post. Otherwise, I would lose the time in the car and I wouldn't be able to work.
I love doing that.
I'm thinking about that stuff and planning that stuff. I'm super grateful to have this past year expanded my team and I have a full-time employee, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And yeah, we're able to really, you know, get this machine working in a really well-oiled way.
Mm-hmm. What are you editing on?
InShot. It's an app on my phone. I really
Whoa,
like it.
That's interesting. I don't think I've ever heard of that.
I'm just like, it's kind of when you come up using like Adobe or iMovie, like you just, it's how you get onto it. And I downloaded InShot. CapCut. It's like, I wish I was using CapCut because it directly connects to TikTok, but my brain doesn't work for it. Like yeah. I know the ins and outs of InShot. So I use InShot on my phone.
Mm-hmm. What do you think are characteristics of someone who's a successful content creator?
I would say consistency and quantity. And coming from a sports background, not to say that for the third time, but like it really has impacted a lot of how I think in life. And I think when you're in the weight room, it's like quality over quantity, like slow down and like the best reps and like quality over quantity. It is the opposite with content, quantity over quality. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things I tell myself is think less, post more. Whenever I get in my head and I start overthinking, I'm like, stop, just post, press the button, post. Like I think a great creator is just like pumping out a high quantity of content. And that can be one a day. Mm-hmm. And not worrying about each little thing being like perfect and buttoned up. Mm-hmm. I think it would be impossible for every video to be like perfect and buttoned up if you're going to succeed. And then I would also just say ambition. And I think being super creative, like it just really comes to me, the creativity part of this work. Like when I was in fourth grade, I would make full-on movies on using my computer. I'd set my computer up to film me and my friends, and then I would edit music videos. Like, I always had mm-hmm. this in me in some way.
Mm-hmm. What do you wish you were better at in regards to being a content creator?
It's a really good question.
I'm, like, so curious to see what you're going to say, because in my eyes, you're, like, killing it. I'm like, what the hell is she going to say?
You're so sweet. That means so much to me. It's so funny how I'm thinking, like, I'm not killing it. I could be doing so much better. And then someone tells you you're
Victoria,
killing it.
Victoria, you are killing it.
Wow. Thank you. That's so sweet. I think I will take a slightly different answer to this question, but I think it's real. I think I'm struggling with leadership, whether I'm overthinking it or not. I do have an employee. Mm-hmm. I'm technically their boss, whatever that means. Like, I don't have corporate working experience. You know, I think I'm on emails with external teams, whether it's PR or it's an agency. And it's like, I definitely do a good job because I am where I am. Maybe I'm being hard on myself, but like, I want to be great at it and I want to build something really special and I want to do the right thing every time. And so I'm reading this book called The Making of a Manager that was recommended to me by someone in the industry who is like this amazing CEO type whisperer, just okay. guru.
Wow.
And it's written by, I believe the name is Julie Zhao. I just opened the book, so forgive me, the author. But she came up when like MySpace was the biggest thing. She was at Stanford. She joined Facebook super early and just was a designer and kept getting promoted and promoted and promoted. And like,
whoa.
She's just like, I didn't know how my, this was just my colleague and now I'm their manager. Like, how do you do these things? Mm-hmm. And so I'm literally a chapter in, but I'm really excited to read that book and just become better at like, I want to build a business, not just be a TikToker.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to prepare myself for that.
What do you mean you want to build a business?
Like,
what does that entail?
I think about Gary Vee. I really love the structure of everything that mm-hmm. he's done. And I think about him. Like, I want to have a company that has multiple employees who then run their employees. And I want to come out with something that I can create to add value to my audience that can be a direct revenue stream between me and them. And I don't have to be so reliant on working with brands every year. What happens mm-hmm. if something happens to brand deals or something happens to my biggest partners? Like, mm-hmm. you know, so it's kind of those things. And I want to, you know, keep growing Real Pod to be this amazing podcast where it is a place that Taylor Swift would want to come on. You're welcome anytime, Tay Tay.
I need Taylor to go on your podcast.
No, literally, I could make a list on why I think it's the perfect
thing. I just will be your personal assistant and hairstylist and makeup artist that day.
I would fucking die if she ever came on. Well, she will manifest.
She will.
But yeah, it's like I noticed that a lot of my income is brand deals. That's not stable. It's great and it's lucrative, but like we don't know where that's going to be in 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I want to create my own, I don't want to call it a product, but my own thing that I believe can add value to the world and that they'd want to buy. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's all that. That's what I mean.
Okay. I love that. You do a lot of speaking gigs. How often do you do a speaking gig?
So a lot of my public speaking is tethered to colleges and speaking to students or athletes. So it's usually in the fall, especially, mm-hmm. and then sometimes in the spring, but then you get close to graduation. So April and May, it's not really happening. And I definitely don't speak a lot in the summer. It's kind of like the school year. Mm-hmm. So fall, and this coming week, I'll be at NC State.
Oh,
so,
awesome.
Yeah.
How do you prepare for a speaking gig? Because public speaking is, I think, the biggest fear in the world.
Is the second mm-hmm. greatest fear after death. That actually used to be one of my opening jokes when I give keynotes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I used to give a lot of keynotes. Actually, I was thinking about this for 6 years. That's a lie because junior year, it was five. I think it was 5 years I was giving keynotes, like full on 45 minutes. It's me in front of people speaking. And I do think that I was born with this, and you have it. Like, you're a star. Like, you're on the mic. I've been thinking about this in my head, how conversational you are and entertaining you are. Like, I think it can be a thing that you have. Of course, it can be learned. Growth mindset. You know, mm-hmm. you can become great at it. But I definitely had it in me. So, like, I don't get afraid. Like, when I'm about to speak in front of 600 people, I'm like, let's go. Like, it doesn't get me nervous. Mm-hmm. But yes, I, you know, wrote out my talk. At first, it was kind of, I did my TED talk, and I had remembered that I like ran it by my therapist because I wanted the psychologist's point of view, and I ran it by, I called it my high school English teacher. You know, I'm like, who do I call? I'm giving a TED talk. So I didn't have like any formal training. And then I went right into public speaking, and I just kind of kept that going. Like, it was like a variation of my TED talk that I gave to my parents. And then my parents would be like, well, can you explain more about this? Or this part was too long. You know, they would give me feedback like that.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. During a TED talk, do you not have a teleprompter?
No.
You just wing it.
My TED talk, I memorized verbatim.
Shut the up.
No.
I'm so sorry. I thought they always had a teleprompter.
I mean, when you're on the big TED stage with like, I'm sure they have a thing where you can see your slides, your note cards. Like, I gave mine at USC. It was run by students. And like, I either, I I memorized it because the other option was to use flashcards. And I was like, F that. Like, if I'm giving a TED talk, like, I can put the time in.
In my head, I was like, damn, she really did memorize this. But like every once in a while, you could, if you needed to, look.
No. If I was looking at anything, it's because I could see my slides like right there.
Okay.
But my slides didn't, like, I saw what you saw. They didn't have notes. But I have a really good short-term memory, and I only forgot one line in my TED talk. And
That's amazing.
I didn't even realize till the end that I like glazed over the one sentence. But that was actually ended up coming back to bite me as I wanted to become a better public speaker and more seasoned. And I started working with a public speaking coach. You find that actually the best way to be a public speaker is to like loosely have a point like that you want to prove. And like maybe you have your transition sentence, but then like you trust yourself in that moment to get there and to communicate it. Mm. So I like kind of kicked myself in the foot because I like become good at something
at
almost
memorizing.
In the wrong way. Mm. And then I needed to become more intuitive and less of a perfectionist of like, mm-hmm. I have to say it this perfect way. And so that was really hard for me. But long story short, I was delivering keynotes and it was really taxing. Mm-hmm. If anyone's just giving a talk, it's emotionally taxing. But I was talking about my mental health journey and I was talking about suicidal ideation and it was really deep for me. And oftentimes I would tear up and that's real. And I got to a place where it was taking such an emotional toll on me to like take my trauma and like perfectly package it and then deliver it and like try to make sure that like, well, now I'm getting paid and did they like it and now I'm judging my story and like did I engage, and it became this thing. I got super in my head, and if I had a keynote I would like literally consume me for like the week leading up. So I've recently switched my format, and so now I do more of a keynote conversation. So someone from the school or the booking agent, they have someone who goes through like a list of questions that like I've provided and they can of course add to. And they essentially like walk me through like what I would have said. But it's so nice because I get to sit in the chair.
That
I get
is
to
so
be
nice.
Myself. I do when things come, like, of course, I know the way to say it and I can deliver these jokes that I know will land because it is an art, you know, like, of course, no one wants you to get up there and just wing it. Mm-hmm. But that has made it so much better for me. I used to not even work the day of a keynote. I'd be like, no one talk to me. I can't have anything on the calendar because like I was so anxious. And now it's like, you could throw me into that keynote conversation setting at any point in time and I would know I would do a good job.
Well, now it's like a panel in a way.
Fully, but it's like just me and I know the questions and So I
love that.
And I'm really happy that I made that change for myself. Mm-hmm. And it's important for everyone to evaluate like what you're doing and how it's making you feel and like, does it need to be this taxing? And mm-hmm. if not, like you can make an adjustment.
It's probably more psychologically, I mean, I don't have the proof for this, but it's probably psychologically more entertaining as well, because now there's another person involved. They're asking you questions that they're probably thinking. Like, it's psychologically, it makes sense to me why that would almost land better.
Right. I think it's
as a speech as well.
You're right. It can be more engaging and it can be more intimate. You don't worry about, like, when you are giving a keynote, like, you are worrying about audience attention. Like, there's all these strategies of, like, let me tell you a story. Now let me give you the value takeaway. Mm-hmm. Because when I'm telling you the story, you're just sitting back and you're listening and your brain's not working. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm telling you the takeaway, you're in mode of like, apply it to my life, think. And that's strenuous on you. So then let me go back to a story. Like, you are bringing the audience with you and you're very worried about their emotions. And when you're doing it, I'm reading their expressions. And if they don't laugh at this first joke, I'm like, okay, it's a stiffer crowd. I'm in my mind, I'm not going to tell my next joke and I'm going to keep this more emotional. Like, mm-hmm. you are picking up and reading a lot as you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. And Gen Z, which is who you're speaking to, has the attention span of a goldfish.
Yeah.
And having those questions to break it up probably makes it like, oh, if I fell off the last question, I can get back in. Mm-hmm. Whereas sometimes like a hard, I remember like when I was young in church, I would like sometimes zone out the whole time because it was hard to get back in.
Yeah.
During like a sermon or something.
No, fully.
But, okay, that's really interesting. Do you find public speaking and podcasting to be pretty similar or completely different in your head?
I think they're similar in that, of course, if you're doing a podcast and you're talking a lot, you are good with words and good with conversation. And like that is, of course, it's going to help. But they're definitely different in that I feel like the pressure for a public speech is a lot higher than a podcast. Mm-hmm. Like someone listening to my podcast is like, you know, they're just tuning in by choice because they want to listen. Whereas if I am, you know, going to an event and it's business and I'm working and they've chosen me to be the one to kick off their mental health week and like inspire their student body, like it's not like I'm just swinging the mic around and just spewing what I have for the Wednesday, you know?
Do you have any public speaking tips that aren't the obvious? Don't say like and and stutter and be confident. You know what I mean?
Yes. One thing that I think is big is always leading with honesty. I think it helps the speaker and it helps the audience. Like, it brings everyone's guards down. What I mean by that is sometimes people will be really nervous or they'll feel like they won't have enough anything good to say and they'll think I have to pretend that that's not what I'm feeling and I have to go out there and fake it till you make it. No. Like, when I went and I spoke at Harvard to a bunch of these female athletes, these women are geniuses. They're at Harvard. I could never get in there. The whole day I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, I'm not going to say anything worthy. Like, there's, what could I say? I'm not smarter than them. And so literally, instead of having this imposter syndrome and trying to pretend and go in there and be like, I am smarter and I can, like, I literally opened it and I made some joke of, I'm pretty excited to be here amongst you Harvard students. I don't know what you think you're going to learn from me, but I'll do my best. Yeah. And like, they all start laughing and I feel like I called out the elephant in the room that I'm nervous about. And it really just, they now think that I'm being honest and I'm also like, okay, I'm not hiding anything. So leading with honesty, whether that's you're nervous or you're anxious or you haven't done this before, I think that's big. I would also say, I think that the environment is important and sometimes like the flashing lights and the microphone and the camera video, like it can all be a lot. Sometimes I will want the lights up and if I test that my voice can echo through the room, maybe I won't use the mic. And to me, like, and if there's a stage, but you could also stand on the floor, like I like to be on everyone's level. So if I can speak on the same ground as that they're on, and if I can maybe not use a mic and project my voice to the 100 people in this small room, like I will, it creates intimacy. It makes me feel like I'm not mic'd up stiff. There's flashing lights. I can't even see the audience. I'm on a stage. Like the whole thing is making me feel like I'm superior and I'm not like, so I think, you know, I like to, when I get to an environment, whether you're talking to tech about the lights and making sure you can see faces, like if I'm speaking and I can't see faces, I don't like that.
Do you think good public speakers are also good at socializing?
Yes. I almost feel like another question under this is like, are successful people narcissists?
Or do you think
my best friend and I talk about this all the time. Well, she's like, you can't. Well, I regret using that term because like I know real NPD people and unfortunately like it's much deeper than us just being like, oh, I need a narcissist.
Yeah.
But like, is there an element of like having this belief that like you are great in some way because you believe you're great. That's why you achieve the things. Yes, I feel like anyone who's going after it in life, especially in this space, like you believe you have something. I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, like we tell everyone, believe in yourself, go for your dreams. And then the minute someone does it, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe that they really thought that they could do it.
Oh,
like,
I know. It's so crazy.
You know, and it's
so wild.
So I do think it's good to believe in yourself. I think it's good to believe you can provide value to the world and that you're smart and that you're capable. And so is everyone else. And I try to keep that front of mind. Like, I don't think I'm better than anyone in any way. Like, and if sometimes my ego tries to come in and say like, oh, well, you should be sitting over here. You should have gotten this in the deal, whatever. I'm like, you know, I try to get back down to earth, but those thoughts come and they're normal. So, yeah.
I find that super interesting. The reason I asked is because I do think you're great at socializing. And one thing I do admire about you is you are really good at navigating a conversation like we talked about in the beginning of this podcast. Like someone starts talking shit, like the fact that you were confident enough to not just agree. And it's hard to disagree.
No, it
right?
No, it
and
really
it's hard
is.
To be confident enough to disagree. And then on top of that, know how to redirect the conversation. I think that is a skill. So my question is, there's a lot of listeners out there that struggle with social anxiety and networking and, you know, want to be this boss ass bitch, but don't know how to work a room like you do. So what tips and tricks would you give that person?
First of all, I love this question. I love these people. Like, we're all different and it's totally okay. It doesn't have to be a flaw. Some people, you know, I walk into a room and I'm talkative and I'm happy and I'm playing. And some people don't like that. They're like, oh my God, this girl's, who's she talking? I don't even know her. You know, what you have is your superpower. learn what your superpowers are and learn how to work them. And if yours is not being the big talker of the room, don't fake it. Don't pretend that you are. If yours is, I am good one-on-one and I look them in the eye and I'm very present and, you know, I do good in a quiet, more intimate setting, let that be your thing. Mm. And when you're in this big crowded room and someone else is working it and you have that side conversation, that person might be like, wow, I really feel like in this crazy, chaotic, quick, fast, loud room, this was the one person that like looked me in the eye and took a minute to really be with me and like ask me about my job or my work. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's about finding what your superpower is and figuring out the best way that like you can use that in your favor. Mm-hmm. And your superpower doesn't have to be mine or like anyone else's. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think that was great. And thank you for sharing that, because I feel like a lot of people do struggle with social anxiety, and you, even if you do have it, we can't tell. So
my anxiety is more performance based. I don't have social anxiety.
I agree with that. I don't really struggle with social anxiety either.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with it. My anxiety manifests in sense of high performance. Like, mm-hmm. you know, when those moments I need to be really great at something and mm-hmm. then I feel it real bad.
Yeah. It's interesting what everyone struggles with. It's always something different.
Yeah. And if that's you too, you can send a gorgeously composed email of your pitch and your thing. Like,
it doesn't, Lord knows I'm not going to be doing that.
Right. And there's a lot of etiquette and impressiveness that comes with a beautiful email and a follow-up
or
email.
Or a written note.
Yeah, a written note. Yeah. I also think, once again, the honesty. Like, I had an interview with someone and I think there was a question that like they butchered, and like they could have saved it by like emailing and being like, I just want to acknowledge I was caught off guard, but like I looked into it and here's what I would have said. Mm-hmm. Like I would look at that with so much respect. Like, if you're not a talker and you don't, that makes you uncomfortable, like you can email, you can write a handwritten letter, drop off your resume, a cover letter.
Honing in on your strengths. Mm-hmm. Well, Victoria, I literally wish I could interview you all day, but you're booked and busy, so I have to unfortunately wrap this up. But I have to ask you one last question. What are you doing to make moves in your life right now?
Ooh. What am I doing to make moves? I am trying to pause more. I feel like I have a resting frequency of super fast, get it done, go, make the move, be the best, get shit done. And I've started to realize that I know where I want to be, and I don't think the way to get there is, it's like I'm doing everything and I'm not actually focused and I'm not.
You have to recharge.
Yeah. And then I'm doing things like to my 60 or 70% ability because I'm trying to do multiple things at once. So I think what I'm trying to do to make moves is like adjust the way I'm making them. And when I'm on the phone with someone, like really being on the phone with them and not also checking my emails while we're talking. And then that way they don't hit me up an hour later because I forgot to do the thing because I wasn't really listening. So I'd say I'm trying to slow down.
That's really great. I love that. Where can everyone follow you?
Well, they can follow me on Instagram or TikTok at Victoria Brown. And then my podcast is called Real Pod. So that's where you could listen to my voice every week, which is also weird. Do you ever feel that way?
Listening to your own podcast back.
Yeah, it is weird. It's very weird.
You have
weird.
A great voice, though. You have a lower register, like rasp.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, it is.
I was just talking this morning on my vlog because I think I have the thing. Like, if I were a singer, like, I would have what Miley Cyrus has.
You are literally Christina Aguilera.
No, like I lose my, if I go out and I'm like out all night, I will lose my voice the next day and I'll have a rasp. And I'm like, this is not normal, but thank you. It fortunately works with podcasting.
Yeah.
Anyway, Victoria, I love you so much.
I love you too.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your wisdom. And be sure to follow Victoria on everything. Listen to Real Pod and subscribe to Making Moves. Give us 5 stars and be sure to make someone else's day this week. Peace.
Bye.
Love y'all.
Thank you.